From the City of Angels near the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be, across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie, and welcome to Coast AM. First of all, congratulations to the New England Patriots, Super Bowl champs, defeating a tough Seattle Seahawks team. This was an amazing game. If you had a chance to watch it, millions did. Emerging artists today for the first 2 hours tonight and later on tonight. How to pray for a financial miracle for yourself. Here's what's happening. Well, of course, there is no bigger game in the United States sports than the Super Bowl, and no bigger challenge for law enforcement. Officials knew of no incredible threat at the game, but they wanted to make sure that no one tries to carry out any kind of Boston Marathon-style bombing or any large-scale shooting, as more than 71,000 fans gathered in the University of Phoenix Stadium. As the Seahawks and Patriots played, 16 fighter jets and Black Hawk helicopters patrolled a 30-mile no-fly zone above the stadium. Thousands of uniformed and undercover personnel from local, state, and federal agencies, including SWAT teams, bomb techs, bomb-sniffing dogs, snipers, watched the stadium. Officers were scanning social media with more than 500 security cameras all over the place as well. Let's check in with the expert and the director of the Northeast Intelligence Network, Douglas Hagman. Well, Douglas, I think law enforcement did its job today, huh?
I suppose one can look at it that way, but I think to those really paying attention, I think that what we're seeing here is security under the guise of public safety increasing to such an extent that it, really what we're seeing is a planned programming and conditioning process that's only going to become more intrusive and oppressive with each passing year. Very simply, I'll give you a quick example.
Sure.
Because I think we need to look at a bigger picture here. When you compare, for example, just a known blanket of security that you mentioned that we saw earlier today with the flyovers and air corridors, you compare that to the security at MetLife Stadium last year. No one is surprised, shocked, or bothered, or even concerned over the constitutional intrusions and impositions in the form of the security employed by these government agencies and subcontractors. Now take the very same scenario and superimpose it over, we'll say, Super Bowl, it says Super Bowl 49, Super Bowl 19, mm-hmm. 29. Wow, have we
big
gone,
difference.
Big difference.
The world has changed. Though.
Well, is that a self-inflicted change, or is that, you know, what's behind the change? I think no one's looking at the root of the security issues. They're looking at the fruit of the issues, and we're seeing that over the skies and in the stadiums and, you know, the train stations and the roads. So I think this is going to continue, and it's going to become more impressive and intrusive.
I think you're right. Douglas Hagman from the Northeast Intelligence Network. In New Mexico, a three-year-old boy found a handgun in his mother's purse, fired one shot, ended up wounding both his parents at an Albuquerque motel. According to investigators, a little toddler apparently reached for an iPod but found the loaded weapon instead, and he squeezed the trigger. The bullet first struck the father, then bounced off and hit the right shoulder of his mother. She is 8 months pregnant, both injuries non-threatening. The leader of a Kansas commune that prosecutors say lived off life insurance payouts from its dead members faces trial this week in the 2003 drowning of a woman whose death he had foretold weeks earlier. Jury selection begins Monday in the trial of a 55-year-old man, Daniel Perez, for first-degree premeditated murder of Patricia Hughes at the group's compound in the Wichita suburb of Valley Center. Witnesses have testified that Perez called himself a seer, a psychic, and portrayed himself as a domineering leader who kept a tight rein on his young, mostly female followers. Now, psychic Marissa Ryan, back in September of 2002, foresaw a murder victim, appeared to her, showed her the gruesome details of a murder. Never experiencing anything like this before, she contacted police, provided them with specific, unpublished details of the crime. What happened? Well, the information caused police to suspect Marissa of involvement, but ultimately led to their trust and appreciation of her abilities. And so let's check in with Marissa here because I wanted to react to this story. It was a close call for you, Marissa, but in this particular case, there's something strange going on here, huh?
Well, the thing is this Daniel is not a psychic at all. In fact, he's a pure evil con man is what he is. I was able to get in touch with Patricia, the victim, who, by the way, was so emotional I could barely even speak to her.
Wow.
She's very upset. And what her telling me happened was that, yes, he foretold her of her death. He actually warned her she was going to die, but that she believes that he had planned to kill her all along. And so that was just him, you know, predicting what action he was already going to take. There's nothing psychic about him. But what she says is that he told her he predicted her death, but not to worry, that he was powerful enough to bring her back to life.
Oh, geez.
And then he had gone out with her to this pool and hit her over the head, causing her to, she screamed, she wasn't unconscious, but he grabbed her hair and he held her down under the water in the pool and drowned her. And he, it's, I mean, completely cold-blooded murder is what it was.
In this case, Marissa, in all cases, of course, for a psychic to go to police with real good bona fide information, they do risk a lot, I think, because like in your case back in 2002, police really not knowing you or who you were, they suspect you, don't they?
Absolutely. Everybody is a suspect, especially when you come forward with information that has not been published anywhere, that nobody would know, information they've been seeking, and you've got this information, you're going to be prime suspect, probably number three, not number one, but definitely up there, because that's what they did. They investigated me and my family.
Jeez. Marissa's website, part of our Twitter feed at coasttocoastam.com. Mitt Romney's decision to forego a third try at the White House has settled the question of whether the 2016 GOP presidential field has a front runner. It's former Florida Governor Jeb Bush. It looks like him. Now, who's been saying on this program for years that it's going to be a Jeb Bush-Hillary Clinton race? I wanted to bring in the prophecy expert, John Hoke, for a minute, and here we go. John, as we get closer and closer, you're beginning to appear right on. What do you think of this?
Well, so far, so good. Definitely, but in all cautiousness, one has to understand that I'm also, I told my friends that the Seahawks were going to win tonight.
I did, too.
But then I'm biased.
You're from,
that's
your team.
Seattle land, so...
That was a great game, by the way.
It was, and I love, and in a way, it kind of ended like a scene from Ace Ventura: Pet Detective.
Oh my gosh!
Laces out.
I know it. You got that right. But back to this. Too early for me to obviously tell you who's going to win the presidency, because I want the major candidates to, you know, to get selected before we come back at you again. But it does appear that your predictions, I guess I could say, are all coming true.
It seems to be. I've had a few interesting hits as well as that. I look back at my records and said that Cuba would be liberated, mm-hmm. and they'd open up diplomatic relationships in 2015, and that seems to have happened. I did that a long time ago. But yes, I have been talking about this because, as some of your listeners know, I make predictions since 1968 on who wins the presidency by the popular vote, and I have been 12-0.
You're right on. John, thanks. We got to talk to you at depth again. Your prophecies are just spot on. The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration has announced the recall of more than 2 million vehicles to fix faulty crash sensors that could cause airbags to deploy for no reason. 2002 to 2004 model vehicles, the Acura MDX, the Dodge Viper, the Jeep Grand Cherokee, the Jeep Liberty, the Honda Odyssey, the Pontiac Vibe, the Toyota Corolla, the Toyota Matrix, and the Toyota Avalon. Those are the ones. I'm sure you'll get notified if you own one of those cars, if they can find you. Remember, 2002 to 2004. Slow-moving winter storm blanketing a large part of the plains in the Midwest, with a lot of snow forcing the cancellation of 1,500 flights. Far from spring so far. I got to tell you this incredible story about my father, who, as you know, passed away back in 2011. He had, for years, been looking for his World War II buddy, and they had gotten together, and then they lost each other's information, and they couldn't find each other. So for years, Dad was looking for a fellow by the name of Bob, and he could never find him. And of course, my father passed away. Yesterday, I'm opening up my Coast to Coast AM emails, and we get lots of them. And there's one that just kind of struck me as just standing out. So I opened it up, and it was from a guy who said, George, I listen to Coast all the time. Love the show. I'm a 96-year-old World War II veteran. Are you related, or do you know by any chance a guy by the name of Gabe Norrie who lives in the Detroit, Michigan area? I'm trying to find him. It's my dad. So, and that's the guy he was looking for. That's his buddy. So I sent Bob an email. He now lives in Panama City, Florida, and said, yeah, he was my father. He died in 2011. He was looking for you, Bob. And I gave him some more information, but my mother and my sister want to get a hold of him. He used to take my dad fishing, I guess, all the time. It's an amazing story. In a moment, dead doctors don't lie. Why? We're going to talk with Dr. Joel Wallach about that in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie. Tonight, we are going to talk about using natural healing for a couple hours without using a lot of modern medicine with Dr. Joel Wallach. His research has resulted in the publication of more than 70 peer-reviewed journal articles in the fields of nutrition, pharmaceutical research. He has made major contributions to 8 multi-authored texts and reference books, one of them, of course, Dead Doctors Don't Lie, which is an amazing book. And Joel is back on Coast to Coast. It's been a while, and thank you for giving up part of your Super Bowl Sunday, Joel, to be with us. Appreciate it.
Well, thank you so much. It's always an honor to be with you, George.
I want you to go back and tell everybody, Joel, your incredible story, because you're a veterinarian, but you know nutrition like no other. How did that happen? What happened?
Well, it actually started when I was 9 years old. You can believe that. I had, when I was 4 years old, what would be called today Tourette syndrome. I had facial tics and made weird noises, and all my friends knew I was possessed kind of thing. And it got progressively worse. By the time I was 9 years old, I was literally disabled, and my mom took me to an eye doctor in St. Louis. I don't know why she took me to an eye doctor. And I was a little farm kid. She took me to an eye doctor in St. Louis, and to make a long story quick, the eye doctor said, look, I can't find anything wrong with him. It was an MD eye doctor, said, the only thing I can find is his eyelashes are real long. They're hitting his glasses, curling back, tickling his eyeballs, and that's what's making him do all these funny things. Well, I'm 9 years old, and I'm not that stupid, and I knew that this doctor didn't know what she was talking about, and she was just making stuff up to try and satisfy my mom. So the next day when I was in school, I went to the school library and found a nurse's health handbook, and I looked under eyelashes and eyelids, and I couldn't find anything of value, and so I went to the index and got to through the A's and the B's and got into cramps in the C's and looked up cramps and said calcium deficiency. And I would feed the calves with these vitamin mineral enriched alfalfa pellets before the bus would pick me up in the morning, take me to school. And you know, you read the analysis label and they had protein and vitamin A and vitamin B1 and calcium. And so I said, oh, okay. So after school that day, a bus let us off, and before I did my chores, I ran to the barn and began to eat those pellets myself. In the morning, next morning, threw out the Cheerios out to the chickens and filled my cereal bowl with the calf pellets and put milk on them and ate them. In 3 days, my Tourette syndrome was gone. And so I knew when I was 9 years old that doctors didn't know anything about nutrition and that you could do some remarkable things with nutrition. So that was the beginning. I wanted to go to a school and become a scientific farmer. I went to the University of Missouri in Columbia. And halfway through ag school, I applied for and got into veterinary school, quite surprised me. And let's see here, by 1962, I ran into, I was a pathology graduate student at that time. I still had 2 years left in veterinary school, but I was a graduate student.
Well, and you realize, I think, at that early age too, Joel, that what happens to animals also happens to human beings.
Right. Well, this is the point at which it occurred when I was a graduate student in pathology, because I was a comparative pathologist, George. I was doing, even though I was in veterinary school, I was doing autopsies on people and animals, and ran into the first mass die-off from pollution in America. It, you know, been theorized that it was going to happen, but nobody ran into it or at least observed it or identified it until I did in 1962. Got it published, and it made me published when I was only 22 years old. It was my first peer-reviewed paper on a mass die-off in America from pollution. And that kind of set my future. I had worked with Marlon Perkins from the old Mutual Omaha Wild Kingdom show, gave him a copy of that paper, and he sent me to Africa when I graduated for 2 years to work on the White Rhino Conservation Project. Caught 200 white rhinos, sent them back, and I was prepared to stay the rest of my life in Africa. I was having the time of my life. And he invited me to come back because he'd gotten a large grant, which was large at that time, about $8 million to begin with, to study pollution as a cause of death. And well, he said, well, I know the guy who would do this, so would be the pathologist in the project. So he got me back from Africa for that project.
That's fantastic. Now, Joel, when you started looking at nutrition, and I've seen you at dinners. We met once at a health expo. You had a handful of supplements and pills, and I mean, you were popping them like crazy. But I mean, they're working for you, and they work for a lot of other people too. What is it about the human body that if you just take care of it, it takes care of you?
That's a very good observation on your part, George. The thing that makes us interesting, I think, as a species, is that all vertebrates, whether you're a hummingbird or a crocodile or a kangaroo or a human or an elephant or a giraffe, whatever, we all require the same 90 essential nutrients, 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 essential amino acids, 3 essential fatty acids. And these 90 essential nutrients are required by our genes, our DNA, and our RNA, and our telomeres, which are the little end caps on our chromosomes, to maximize our genetic potential for longevity and health and fending off disease and speed and strength and intelligence and so forth. If we don't take these nutrients in, either naturally or by supplementation, we get all kinds of manifestations, disease like Tourette syndrome or cancer or diabetes, Alzheimer's disease, macular degeneration, arthritis, high blood pressure. And so these diseases hold true. And doing these pathology study for the Center of the Biology of Natural Systems at Washington University in St. Louis, attached to the Shaw's Botanical Gardens, the St. Louis Zoo, the Barnes Hospital, at the medical school there at Washington University. And to make a long story short, again, I did some 20,000 autopsies and over 454 species of animals and 3,000 humans published. That book is in the Smithsonian Institute, George. It's a national treasure. It's 1,200 pages.
Wow, good for you.
The first shot across the bow on a science which is just now coming into its own called epigenetics. Because what I found was that all the diseases that were said to be genetic in human beings occurred in kangaroos and crocodiles and hummingbirds and elephants. And so how could a human genetic disease like diabetes occur in a crocodile? It just didn't make sense. So there had to be another answer. And there was this common thread. It turns out that type 2 diabetes, for instance, is caused by deficiency of a single mineral. It's not genetic in any way, shape, or form. And we could get rid of it. We could cure it in animals. And so I began to do this in people, and sure enough, it works in people.
A lot of people say, look, if you're on borderline type 2 diabetes, lose weight, you know, cut down on your glucose intake, you know, your carbohydrates, and watch those glucose numbers begin to drop. It seems simple, Joel, but a lot of people just don't take care of themselves.
Well, that's correct, because they buy into the doctor's rhetoric that type 2 diabetes is genetic, and they say, well, I might as well have fun. If it's genetic, there's nothing to do about it. And so I'm going to go ahead and abuse myself because I don't want to give up these things, and it's genetic, there's nothing to do about it. Well, you can actually add 25 to 50 healthier years to your life by supplementing with the 90 essential nutrients, because the food we get no longer have these things in them. And that's the piece that most people don't get. And, of course, this is very, very well documented. We know the exact moment it happened when everything changed. It was the biggest story in newspaper history because the telegraph occurred at that time. And the next day, when this event happened that changed everything for our nutrition, it was in every newspaper in the world the next day. And that event, George, occurred at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, Monday, September 4th, 1882.
Wow.
On Pearl Street in New York City, on the bluff overlooking the construction of Brooklyn Bridge. At that moment, a guy by the name of Thomas Edison pulled the switch in the first electric generating plant. And within 10 years of that event, every industrialized nation, including America, switched from wood as the universal fuel to electricity. Well, what people don't realize, especially doctors, George, is that for thousands and thousands and thousands of years before that moment in 1882, human beings had been putting their wood ashes from their heating stoves and cooking stoves and fireplaces and fire pits into their gardens. And the corn and the beans and the sweet potatoes and onions and squash and tomatoes, whatever they're growing, would pick those minerals up. You ate that food and you supplemented your minerals.
Hold on for a second, Joel. We're going to hit this break, but we're going to come back. We're going to have a great week of some paranormal shows for you and some conspiratorial shows, so make sure you're part of us. We'll be back with Dr. Joel Wallach in a moment on Coast to Coast AM as we talk more about how your body can just heal itself in many, many occasions. Welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie with Dr. Joel Wallach as we talk about health and healing. Joel is part of the CriticalHealthNews.com team, by the way. That website is linked up near his name at CoastToCoastAM.com. So, Joel, you were talking about in the old days, they used their wood ashes, I would guess, as fertilizer in their gardens, right?
Well, again, you've hit the nail on the head. Exactly right. They didn't realize that when they were putting these wood ashes, a.k.a. plant minerals, because the trees were sucking minerals out of the ground, into their garden, that they were getting the benefit too. This goes back to the days of the pharaohs, 7,000, 8,000 years ago. People were using wood ashes as fertilizer, and they then got the minerals through eating the food that they fertilized with wood ashes. Well, when we went to electricity, people liked electricity, and they gave up the wood, and they didn't replace that source of nutritional minerals. Now, there's another piece to that. People liked electricity, and so politicians would beat their chests and say, hey, you vote for me, I'll electrify the Tennessee Valley Authority, right? You vote for me, I'll electrify the seven southwest states with the Hoover Dam. And they did. Well, what happened then, they stopped the flooding, in addition to getting electricity, and there was no longer any silt coming down every spring onto our farmlands and the bottomlands and the floodplains, which farmers would plow in every spring, the silt from the mountains many miles away. And so we lost that source of minerals, and we're paying the price now. There's 20 top cultures when it comes to longevity on Earth. They have 40 times as 100 as we do. These peoples, George, are all third world cultures. They have no doctors, no hospitals, no insurance, public or private, and yet they have 40 times as 100 as we do. They have 100 per 250 of their population. We have 100 per 10,000. The difference is they're still using wood for fuel, putting their wood ashes in their garden, and we're using electricity. And so we do need to supplement. There's no escaping it. You look at people like Steve Jobs, who was a vegan. He ate only vegetables and fruit and grains, and he paid $1,000 for a meal, had a five-star vegan chef, did not supplement. He paid the price, and he died at 56.
Yeah, that was sad. Pancreatic cancer.
Yep.
I noticed a story we had, Joel, a few weeks ago where scientists have found a new antibiotic in the soil. And now they're testing soil, which is right down your alley. They're testing soil to see if they can find new remedies for disease.
Well, this isn't new. You've heard of streptomycin.
Yeah.
It was actually found in the experimental fields at the University of California, University of Missouri, in Columbia, Missouri. Okay. And this is where I did my studies. And it was found there by William Albrecht, my professor of soils, streptomycin. And so they've known that soil organisms could be used, particularly molds, could be used to kill bacteria and certain viruses and things. And so there's nothing new. But, of course, when doctors find something, they like to claim they invented it, right? But there's nothing new under the sun, and certainly finding antibiotic-type organisms in the soil is not new. That goes back to the 1930s.
Joel, the title of your latest, one of your latest books, Dead Doctors Don't Lie. Tell me about the title, because I find it fascinating.
Okay, well, thank you. Well, yeah, I'm starting to give lectures to build my naturopathic practice. I'm licensed in Oregon and California, and I wanted to build a practice, so I was lecturing all over the place. And one of the things I showed was that sports medicine doctors didn't live very long. They would be joggers and weightlifters and do all kinds of exercise, and they would die very, very young. They die of a heart attack while they're jogging at age 38 or 52, and that kind of stuff. And so I started looking at what age doctors die from. And I just picked 200 autopsies randomly from the Journal of the American Association, added up the ages of these 200 doctors, divided by 200, got 58. And I said, why would anybody go to somebody who lives to be 58 to learn how to live to be 100? Didn't make sense to me. And I was passing out these photocopies of his obituaries in my lectures. This one guy, a football player, professional football player, got very angry. He said, well, I'm here because my son has muscular dystrophy, and I heard you could reverse that. and you're handing out obituaries of dead doctors. Why are you doing that? And he said, well, only dead doctors don't lie. And so that is, it was spontaneous, and that's where the title came from.
When you talk to people, Joel, and I know you're traveling all over the country, and they're concerned about their own health, because I've always told people wherever I go that that's got to be the most important thing you do, more important than anything, because if you don't have your health, you can't take care of the people you care about. I mean, if you step off this planet earlier than you're supposed to, you've let down some people that you're supposed to help and be with. And so at a very young age, I said, you know, you got to take care of yourself, and you got to do it in a big, big way.
Yeah, you're exactly right, George. You have to, I call it being obsessive. You got to be obsessive about it. And as you noticed, I've been taking the 90 essential nutrients twice a day for 68 years.
And you look, honestly, you look like you're in your late 50s.
Well, thank you. Yes, most people think I'm in my 50s. In a couple of months, I'll be turning 76.
So. I'm good. I'm glad you didn't say, George, I'm really 42. We don't want that.
Yeah. No, and I have not been sick in 68 years. I've never been on any prescription drugs. The last time I was to the doctor was the eye doctor, you know, when I was 9 years old. That was it. I do have a health file, and the only thing in it is my birth certificate. And I do my own physicals, which people can do for, like, less than $5. I teach them how to do that in a book we entitled Let's Play Doctor. And this teaches you how to go to a pharmacy without a prescription. You can get all the test strips your doctor will use in his office when he does a physical for you. He'll charge you anywhere from $800 to $2,000 for the physical. You can get the same, very same test strips he uses for blood tests, urine tests, and the equivalent of a colonoscopic exam for totally less than $5. And so why would you want to spend $2,000 when you can do it yourself for less than $5?
You know, with everything you've gone through in terms of helping people, trying to get them to develop a good regimen to better themselves, what would you do with someone who has got some pretty big health issues, you know, maybe high blood pressure and stuff? And as we've always said, folks, deal with your doctor. We're not telling you to get on medication or to get off it. That's between you and your doctor. But what would you do to help them, Joel?
Well, the first thing we do, George, is twofold. Number one, they have to stop the ongoing damage. And so we try to straighten up their diet to get them off of the bad things, inflammatory things. Because that's one of the things I learned when we did those 20,000 autopsies. The diseases that doctors thought were genetically transmitted were not. For instance, plugged arteries, the coronary artery disease, is not caused by cholesterol. It's not caused by genetics. It's caused by inflammation from eating fried foods and salad dressings and olive oil and processed meats with nitrates and nitrites and gluten, wheat, brown rhinos, that sort of stuff. And so we get them on the right rails and get the bad stuff out of their lives so they don't have any ongoing damage. Then we get them on the basic program. Everybody needs the 90 essential nutrients, and you may be eating food that only has 3 minerals in instead of 60. And so the only way you're going to guarantee it and level the playing field for everybody, we found, is by supplementation. So we'll get them on the 90 essential nutrients, 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 essential amino acids, and 3 essential fatty acids. And then we've come up with a secret sauce for over 900 different diseases, different secret sauces. And, for instance, type 2 diabetes is a simple mineral deficiency disease. We've known it for 70 years. It's not genetically transmitted at all. I can take somebody who's been a type 2 diabetic for 30 years in less than 2 months, give them the 90 essential nutrients, give them the special sauce, the secret sauce, and usually in a couple of days or a couple of weeks, maximum 2 months, they're an ex-diabetic.
Those numbers drop, don't they?
You know, the blood sugar drops below 100 very quickly. Their A1C hemoglobin drops below 5. And if they have any complications, like kidney failure, we take people who've been on dialysis 3, 4, 5, 6 days a week for 6, 8, 10, 12, 15, 20 years, and then usually in a couple of weeks or a couple of months they're off of dialysis and go back to normal life.
Next hour, Joel, when we take phone calls from our listeners, you know, I want you to be able to give them some advice on things
sure.
that they may be able to do, because, you know, I come from the old school. If you help one person, if one person is helped or saved, we've done our job. I mean, and we've dramatically done it in a big way, I think, with the kind of information that you and so many others come on this program over the years and try to give to people. So I'm glad that you're out there doing what you're doing. Where do you get your energy? Is it from the way you take care of yourself? Because you don't stop.
Well, absolutely. I give 300 lectures a year.
Wow.
They're all free. I don't charge for anything. I do not make any money from the sale of any of the products I talk about. I purposely set that up because one of the first things that a medical doctor will do to diss a competitor is say, well, they're making all that money, he'll tell you anything. And so I purposely don't make any money from the sale of any of the nutritional products that I recommend. And so people don't have to say, well, I'm not going to take that stuff because Wally can't make any money. So I've eliminated that piece.
Good for you.
Yeah. And so it's really a mission. And you figure if I was given this information when I was 9 years old, I don't think a 9-year old can figure it out. But no matter how clever you are, I think I had some spiritual
help
there.
Yeah.
And so I figure if I was given this information, I'm obligated to share with people. And I do it in over 50 countries. I speak around the world. And my CDs are in like 12 languages because of that. And the CD, Dead Doctors Don't Lie, which goes along with the book, Dead Doctors Don't Lie, has sold over 250 million copies. And so I'm very, very proud of that because we're helping millions and millions and millions of people with this information. And that's the greatest joy you can have. And I really appreciate you and all the great things you do to get this information out to the general public.
Now, it's critical. You know, we don't do a lot of health shows. We do some. And, you know, we supplement it with everything else that we do in the program. But they're so important. And I've got to tell you, I mean, we're not even at the stage to take phone calls yet. And they're ringing like crazy. And, you know, people are concerned about what they can do to take care of themselves. And I think that's so important. My dad was 88, Joel, when he died. Had he not fallen, I really think the guy could have gone past 90 in a big way. His cousins, they all lived pretty late. We had one of them was a colonel in the Air Force, 100 years old. My mom, God willing, she's 85, and she acts like she's 42 sometimes.
Well, I have to take her dancing.
That's right. Tell me about, because you're talking about epigenetics, but tell me about genetics of people. If you have good genetics from your parents, and they're young, or they last longer, is that going to happen to you? Or because I know some people who, like, their father died at 42 of a heart attack, and at 42, they died of a heart attack. How does that happen?
Well, again, there's two pieces to that, George. That's a very good observation on your part. And this is the story of epigenetics. Medical doctors still today think that genetics control everything. You have a destiny that is driven by your genes. Well, you're given a genetic potential. But it's kind of like that Lamborghini car that'll go 300,000 miles. If you put 6 quarts of Texas dirt in the car instead of 6 quarts of oil, you're not going to get the 300,000 miles. That engine probably won't go the distance that one tank of gas would take you. So just because your grandparents and your parents lived to be 100 doesn't mean you're going to. It means you have the potential to get there, but you're going to have to do the same things they did. Now, they didn't know they were using wood ashes to get their minerals, and now you're using electricity and not getting any wood ashes to put in your garden. And so you're going to have to supplement to maximize, and this is the secret here that answers your question, to maximize your genetic potential that you were given by your parents and grandparents, to maximize your longevity and your health and fend off disease and strength and speed and intelligence, you're going to have to give your genes and your DNA and your RNA and your telomeres everything they require to fulfill that destiny. If you don't give them that raw materials, you're going to fall way short, and you might die at 42 of a heart attack, our diet, 57 of diabetes or complications of high blood pressure when your parents lived to be 100 because they were still living out in the farm and throwing their wood ashes in the garden and eating mineral-rich food. And so, and you're not supplementing. And so the answer is, yes, you can achieve that same longevity. However, you're going to have to do things maybe your parents and grandparents didn't do. You're going to have to supplement to give your genes, your DNA, your RNA, your telomeres, everything they need to maximize your potential. And that's epigenetics. This is the piece that doctors don't understand because they get zero training in nutrition.
I've got a friend. I want to talk with you about stress here.
Okay.
Got a friend. He lives in the Los Angeles area. His business is not doing well. He had to close it yesterday.
Oh, my.
He has had some heart issues, smokes like a fish, and he's been uptight because he's going to get evicted from his apartment, and everybody's tried to help them in their own way.
Yeah, we might be able to help him out.
Anyways, listen, he collapsed yesterday, and he's in the hospital, and he's going to have heart surgery tomorrow morning.
What kind of heart disease does he have, do you know?
He doesn't know whether they're going to put in stents or give him bypass. I mean,
okay.
And I said, I don't know. How do you not know that? And he said, they told me they don't know until they get in there. But how important is stress to taking you down?
Well, stress is an additional load on your physiology. It adds another pebble to your scales, okay, a negative scale. And there's no heart disease that's caused by stress. But if you have heart disease and you have stress, you get more problems. For instance, congestive heart failure, one of the more common causes of heart death in adults in America, is caused by a deficiency of a single vitamin. We've known that since 1742. It was discovered by a Japanese naval surgeon. Cardiomyopathy heart disease, which causes sudden heart death in athletes and people who do heart and physical work, is caused by a deficiency of a single mineral. I'm probably the only guy that's ever done 1,700 autopsies on human beings has died of that disease.
Oh, my God.
I'm an expert in that one. And it's the cause of, like I say, these sudden deaths in these young athletes, these high school.
That's sad, too.
Kids. Yeah, it's totally unnecessary. I hold the sports medicine doctors and personal trainers responsible for this because they just think that all they have to do is eat protein. You know, they don't pay attention to the minerals. And then coronary artery disease, which sounds like your friend has, if they're talking about.
Yeah, I think so too. Yeah.
This is caused by inflammation, eating fried foods, processed meats, things like oils, olive oil, coconut oil, margarine, mayonnaise, sulfur, cooking oils.
Is coconut oil bad for you?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, at room temperature, it oxidizes. When you heat it, it oxidizes 1,000 times faster, causes clogged arteries.
Well, I guess when you look at it in the sink and it's all clogged, it's the same thing in your arteries, isn't it?
That's correct. And, of course, it's one of those terrible things that medical doctors have given us a lot of bad advice. And, you know, the Nazis killed 40 million people over, I don't know, a 7 or 8 year period. That didn't include soldiers. That's just all the civilians they killed.
Yeah.
Okay? And medical doctors, because of this thing they have about cholesterol causing heart disease and strokes, have killed over a billion people.
Jeez.
Okay, since 1901. And there was never any scientific evidence that showed that cholesterol was a bad thing. The American Heart Association in 1914 took $1.7 million from Procter & Gamble to endorse Crisco as a safer way to eat. And Crisco was originally designed to be a lubricant for not.
Oh, man. And I remember all families were cooking with that.
Yeah.
Everything was cooked in that. I mean, I remember, oh, my gosh, coming home, and Mom would have a whole vat of this stuff, you know, by the stove. Everybody, and they were frying it and everything else. Nobody knew about health and nutrition, really, in those days, did they?
Well, doctors got $1.7 million. The American Heart Association got $1.7 million from Procter & Gamble to endorse Crisco as a healthier way to eat, and there was never any scientific proof to show that. And here it comes. February 2012, the FDA sent an email to every doctor in America saying, get your patients off of statin drugs, get your patients off of cholesterol-restricted diets, because cholesterol-restricted diets and statin drugs together for 5 years, using them every day for 5 years, increases your risk of type 2 diabetes by 52% and Alzheimer's disease by 100%.
Interesting take. Oh, Joel, stay with us. We're going to come back in a moment with Dr. Joel Wallach, of course. His website, criticalhealthnews.com, criticalhealthnews.com. Toll-free number if you're interested, 1-855-949-RADIO, 1-855-949-RADIO. I found out about Dr. Joel Wallach, of course, through our buddy Alex Jones, of course, who knows Joel quite well as well. And we'll take your calls for the final hour with Dr. Wallach. After that, we're going to be talking about intention and miracles with Jim Paris, which is an amazing, amazing story as well.